Yeah. Just for something different, we like to talk about footy here on 1116 SEN every now and again. Round one of the footy, it's Hijacked Everything. Nick Del Santo, of course, is part of our SEN team and will be a part of our coverage this afternoon of the big North Melbourne game against the West Coast Eagles. Hello, Nick. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. And it's been an exciting start. And I guess after Thursday and Friday night, we were thinking, oh, yeah, there's got to be some upset somewhere. But they started to develop over yesterday.
Yeah, well, I think we had four, to be completely honest with you. I did tipping, as we all do, and I think I didn't get one right yesterday. It was one of those sort of days, but very exciting football. And once again, I've said this a few times leading into round one, the bit I love about our game is you just don't know what's going to happen anymore. The competition is so even, and I think yesterday was a real example of that.
Yeah, an absolute example. And probably best exemplified by that Essendon-Hawthorn game.
It was amazing, wasn't it? It was such a special moment that the Bombers and what they've gone through, whether you agree, whether you don't with what's happened there. But it was just a really nice moment last night when those players have come back. Some of them performed really well, and the likes of Dyson Hebel being captain for the first time with that, you know, famous football club, to have 34 touches, 3 goals, to lead from the front, and be able to walk off the ground at the MCG, the home of footy, after a win. It was a really nice moment. I just thought it was a nice way to finish off the day's play.
Nick, you'd know, when you win big games, there's a relief sometimes with the build-up, and there's the exhilaration. But there was almost last night when I watched Joe being interviewed and a few of the players like Dyson being interviewed, there was almost vindication.
Yeah, I agree. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because it is such a build-up. And round one has a different build-up to every other round because you're waiting for 5 months and these players are preparing for one particular game, and all they'll be talking about is Hawthorn. They prepare everything for Hawthorn and what they're going to do, how they're going to counteract the opposition's abilities. But as soon as that game's finished, you actually realise, oh, okay, there's round two. We need to focus on our opposition for next week. But there is such a big build-up to this particular game, and I do agree, vindication, relief, a release of anxiety, because there is a feeling of, am I good enough as an individual? How do we go as a team? For those particular Essendon players, we've been out of the game for 12 months. Can we still do what we used to do, and are we still good at doing that?
Yeah.
And I do agree that that feeling post-game, and when Cameron Ling was interviewing a few of the boys, you sort of felt like it was a little bit of that. No, this is what we do. This is our job. This is our profession. Yes, we love it. We've been under huge scrutiny, but just a little bit of, we're back and we've done a really good job at that.
Did they tick all the boxes for you, the boys that had come back who'd been out for a year? Did they mostly tick all the boxes for you?
Yeah, I'd say that's all you can ask for. Leading into the game, I actually felt they probably needed 3 to 4 weeks, and that's not unusual for anybody, you know, whether you haven't played in the last year or not, it takes a little while to get that momentum or that feeling of conditioning. And it's one thing to do 5 months of pre-season and you finish that feeling like an athlete. They could almost run at the Olympics. Like you're fit like an athlete opposed to fit like a footballer. And they are two really different things. So I thought it might actually take them a lot longer to find their groove. But they settled back in. And I think there's some other guys that need to be complimented just to, you know, to help out. And Zach Merritt's an elite midfielder, and he was fantastic last night. Brendan Goddard held the captaincy while these other guys have served their sentence. James Kelly is a mature, educated footballer that I just think they were just complimented, so these guys weren't sort of hung out to dry in any way. They just were able to come back in. They played great footy. And I'll mention Dyson Heppel's name again, and his performance was fantastic. But there was a real moment in the last quarter when he had a set shot from about 52, 53 metres. And in the bottom of the screen, you could see Brendan Goddard, the previous captain, yelling at him to tell him what to do. And he wanted him to pass it, I think, sort of towards the pocket. And it just looked like Dyson said, no, BJ, it's okay. Like, I'm in control here. I'm now leading this football club. I've had a fantastic game as it is, but I'm going to really take this game by the scruff of the neck and just sort of do what was needed. And he kicked a fantastic goal. And you're still waiting for the Hawks to come, and that's another story itself about where the Hawks are at, and we can talk about that if you want. But just in regards, I just felt that was a real moment, and when he kicked the goal, he looked at BJ and was almost like, "See, you know, I'm back. This is what I can do. Don't forget what I've done in the past as well."
Yep, and you alluded to it earlier, the sort of letdown after the build up to that game, what they were managed to achieve in that game. Now they've obviously, you know, don't want to be, you know, the sort of glass half empty sort of person, but there is going to be a letdown.
Yeah, no doubt about that, and that's just the game of AFL football, that there's such highs and such lows within it. And it's hard to describe that feeling. I've been out of the game for 5 or 6 months now, and it's one thing that I'm definitely going to miss. And watching those boys celebrate after the game on the ground and then sing the club song, that's the best part of the week. It is a huge effort what your body and your mind have to go through to perform. It's a huge build-up, and we speak about anxiety, but you've got to be careful when you speak about anxiety, because it's not in an unhealthy way where we're talking about potential mental health issues, but it is that feeling inside of uncomfortableness. And I've played with players in the past that vomit before games at halftime just because there is such a build-up.
Yeah.
But this is the modern game. These guys need to switch around. They can enjoy it for last night. They'll be able to go to recovery this morning. They'll be able to enjoy it, spend some time together. But I can tell you, by tomorrow morning, they're back at training. They're getting ready for their next opponent. Recovery is a huge thing in the modern game. And, I mean, they'll review that game and they'll enjoy it, but it just can't last for too long. That's just the reality of the game at the moment.
So what do you do if you're Alistair Clarkson this morning? What's on your to-do list?
Well, it's unusual. It'd be one of the things on their to-do list would be to win the next one. But it's an interesting story, the Hawthorn one, because even watching the game last night, for me, competing against these guys previously, I was just waiting for Hawthorn just to turn the switch, just to flick the switch, and away they go, and they'll run over here. And they probably did that in the second quarter when the Bombers had a fantastic start in the first. The Hawks came back in the second. I was just waiting for them to do it again. So for me, I have a question mark about who they are and what this next sort of group's going to be with some of their club legends leaving. If you're Alistair Clarkson, it's the exact same, whether you win or lose. And I know it's a little bit of a cliche, but it is that reality when you lose as well, that you sort of dwell on it, or you're trying to review the game for a day or so, but then you just get back on the horse as well. It's the next opponent. If you dwell on things for too long, or you celebrate for things for too long, you just get caught out the following week.
Is he going to get? When do you reckon he gets sick of the press? And we'll do it. And I didn't see the press conference last night, but I'm sure it came up. Would it have been a different result if Mitchell and Lewis had been there?
Yeah, I wouldn't be asking Alistair Clarkson that question too many times, because we know.
You're very smart, Nick. You haven't been in the media long, but you're very smart. You've picked that one up quickly.
Yeah, you don't have to be too smart to know that one. That's for sure. That's just the reality of questions that's going to get asked. I think North Melbourne will get those same sort of questions with the likes of Brent Harvey and Drew Petrie leaving. What's this new group look like? Who can replace these guys? The interesting one with Hawthorn is they've replaced them with those two particular midfielders, with O'Meara and Tom Mitchell. And Tom Mitchell, I thought, had a really solid game. O'Meara's finding his feet after having a long sort of time out of the game. He's missed a lot of footy in his early young career. But I think it just goes into the background after a while very quickly. The game evolves, teams evolve so quickly that there's always another talking point. So I think that'll finish up pretty quickly.
And I think the other thing is, and a lot of people have talked about it in the lead-up, round one is only worth 4 points. You don't actually get 12 or 16 points for winning round one, so there's no need to hit the panic button just yet.
Yeah, and maybe that's up to us in the media, that we can get carried away with who's performing really well. And we talk about 8-point games already, and St Kilda Melbourne yesterday felt like one of them, because they were both hyped so much to make the eight, and you know who's going to be the next team to take this big step. And then obviously the D's have broken that treacherous curse at Etihad, the curse against the Saints, which they haven't been successful, I think, since 2006. So that is a long, long time of football not to be winning against a particular club. But you're right, it is only one game, and maybe if you're in the footy clubs, you get over it quick, and us in the media can talk about what it's worth to their footy club and their future.
So what do you make of that Melbourne win?
Probably more than I was expecting, to be honest with you. It's one thing to win. I thought the way they moved the ball, there was a few things within the game that I was really pleased at from a Melbourne point of view. First of all, with the Saints, I thought they started the game really well and then dropped away. So that's a bit of a concern. I just thought their midfield got absolutely smashed. Melbourne had four midfielders, I think, over 30 possessions, which is huge numbers. And the modern game, you use the ball a lot more than you used to. So it's not unusual to have one, maybe two midfielders that get a lot of the ball. But to have four just shows that the Saints were just off in a lot of areas. The midfield battle is where it's traditionally won, you know, getting the ball into position in the field to either put pressure on the opposition or obviously score is huge. And I just thought the D's did that for the last three quarters. I think they kicked 10 goals in a row unanswered, which doesn't happen very often. But I was really pleased with what Melbourne has done. There's been a lot of hype, as I just mentioned, over the summer, over the JLT series. And then to come out against the curse, against this poor form and poor record at Etihad Stadium, they were really impressive. They moved the ball in a new style for me. I haven't seen them move the ball that well for them. Or that way for them, sorry. and they were really impressive.
And the big fella, Max Gordon, obviously another good game from him. He's setting himself up for a very big season.
Yeah, big Maxi, we love him, don't we? He's an interesting personality. He's interesting to look at, let's be brutally honest. He's got a personality about him. I love what Max has done, and even last year, competing against him, I love the way he went about it. I love the way he plays his footy, but the bit I've loved about him from the outside is he's actually happy to tell you what he wants to do. He sort of put it, if we're going to do goal setting, you often keep it to yourself. He sort of come out and been a bit brash about it and said, last year he said, I want to be the number one ruckman and I want to be better than Todd Goldstein, who at that stage was the number one ruckman in the league. So I've loved that about him, and I find it almost a little bit American that, you know, we're going to talk about what we're going to do and then we go out and achieve it. So this year, coming off an All-Australian year, the pressure is sort of on him, and he openly admitted that Tom Hickey got him in a game last year. He rolled him in a game, and Hickey's improved out of sight as well from a St Kilda point of view. But Max was fantastic last night. His tap-outs to advantage are exceptional. His follow-up work, he's able to push forward now and either help out on the scoreboard or probably create goals for his teammates, which he hasn't done in the past. And I just like him as a person. He's entertaining. He's great for footy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Port Adelaide probably pulled off the biggest surprise of the weekend so far.
Yeah, I still can't work out how, to be completely honest with you. I think that they just out-Sydneyed Sydney. And when you come up against a Sydney team, you know what you're in for, and it's a competitive, physical, stoppage-based game that's going to be a hard-fought, close win. And I think they just got them. I don't know really how, in what regard, because I hadn't even spoken about this game because there were so many other really good games on there. You just felt like this will be, Sydney will go and just do what they do at the SCG. They'll just get the win. Port aren't going to be ultra-competitive this year. And they'll just, you know, run away with this game. And then you see the game, you see the scoreline, you're like, wow, okay. But once again, that's the bit that I love about the game. You can't be Sydney, you can't be the Western Bulldogs that have played off in last year's grand final and not turn up on round one and expect to win. You have to actually do the work. And the Bulldogs were a different one on Friday night. They obviously got the job done after a competitive Collingwood. But Sydney didn't. And it's a star-studded team at Sydney that just go about their business. But Port have come to play in Travis Boak's 200th game, milestone game, whether that means they have extra effort or whatever it may be. But they were really, really good and a really pleasing sign for them going forward.
And you would normally bank that Sydney win at home every day of the week, just about. The other game, I watched a bit of the end of this game last night, and it was almost like they were trying to work out who was going to lose it rather than who was going to win it.
Which one was that, sorry?
The Lions and the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, the Q class, sorry, I missed that. Absolutely, that's probably the weirdest game I've watched this week. After the way that the game started, and you're like, oh my god, Gold Coast haven't touched the ball. Brisbane have got a new coach, new captain. Rockcliffe has been demoted, in my words, to vice captain. So it's going to be an interesting way to see how this game plays out. Quarter time was unbelievable. Gold Coast hadn't touched it. A lot of pressure on Queensland football as it is, let alone the coaches in those clubs particularly. But then before you know it, they just chip away. With the likes of Gary Ablett and some of the quality they have at Gold Coast, you sort of felt it was going to happen at some stage. And then to win by 2 points after all that was a great result. And it's great for Queensland football, but there's always something about, you know, there's obviously a loser in Queensland football. So it works both ways up there.
Yep. It really was a funny game at the end. But obviously, I saw a shot of Chris Fagan at the very end of the game. And you would have sworn if you'd looked at that shot that his side did not win the game as opposed to his side winning the game.
Yeah, it's an interesting sometimes with coaches and how you feel inside even as a player when you win. Sometimes you feel like you should win or you performed well and you didn't win. So sometimes you can be happy or satisfied as a loss because you know that you at least played decent or can improve on it. But it's the flip side sometimes when you do win, you're like, no, we just did not execute today. That's not how we want to play our footy. We're up by 40-odd points at quarter time, and then to walk away with a hard-fought two-point win is probably not a great result. So I'm not sure if Fagan's trying to set a standard, and obviously he's come from an elite footy club where standards are everything, and we saw that obviously with the Luke Hodge decision this week to not to play. So standards are huge. So I don't know if it was, all right, we'll take the 4 points. We appreciate that. Let's do a lot of work going forward, though, and we need to be better if we want to play this season in any competitive fashion.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Nick Del Santo's with me. He's part of the team today calling the North Melbourne West Coast Eagles game at Etihad Stadium. What are you looking forward to with this one?
Well, first of all, Drew Petrie goes up against his old team for the first time. Club legend, 311, 315 odd games for that famous football club, only behind Brent Harvey, which sort of goes under the radar a little bit because Boomer's been so fantastic. I'm interested to see how Sam Mitchell fits into the new West Coast side. He's had a fantastic JLT series. There's a lot of little sub-stories. There's a lot of young players that have been given opportunity at the Kangas. Obviously, some guys have left. Some guys need opportunity to play. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. But also West Coast. Some have touted them as premiership contenders. Some have said, you know, they may drop a little bit. Some have said, we're not sure. We just need to wait and see where they're at. So I'm interested to see how that goes. They're away from home, which has obviously been a challenge for them, even when they have been successful. Away from home's a challenge. But I think they'll have to be able to, they'll have to get the win. If they want to get their season off to any start and be competitive, these are the ones they do need to win.
Yeah, and given the where I guess everyone thinks North Melbourne's going to finish this year, it is one that they have to win if they're going to be a top four side for West Coast. Looking forward to hearing you That's and Andy true. Maher and the Ox and Spud and Brett Anderson calling the action this afternoon. Ron Connolly, part of the pregame from midday. That'll be good. Adelaide and the GWS. Now, this could be a better game than maybe we all think. Given it's at Adelaide, do you reckon the home side can actually win this one?
I do. I'm tipping Adelaide here. GWS are up and coming. Last year they were super in what they did for the whole year. They were very consistent. But they haven't beaten Adelaide in Adelaide. And I just think Adelaide are a mature team. Rory Sloane's a personal favourite of mine, the way that he goes about it. So he hasn't had a big pre-season. He hasn't played any of the JLT. So he's going to come back in. They're still missing a few, though, the Crows, and they were very good last year in the regular season and traditionally really good starters. So I'm going to tip the Crows here over GWS. As much as I think, for me, GWS will win the flag, and it's just a matter of time before they start to dominate this competition.
Yep.
For years on end, that's how good I think they are. It doesn't mean they won't lose a couple of games along the way, and I think this will be one of them.
All right, and the final game, which we'll have here on 11:16 SEN, Tim Gossage, Ben Allen and Darren Gaspard are called Freo and Geelong. Wow.
Yes. I'm actually going for Freo, I think.
The question mark versus the other question mark for me in this season?
They've got two question marks, don't they, as you've just mentioned, but in different reasons, because Freo was such a letdown last year after building such respect and just expectation that they're just going to continue or be around the mark for a long period of time. To do what they did last year was an absolute shock. And for me, it won't be a shock for too long. They'll be able to turn this around very quickly. I'm obviously a huge Ross Lyon fan, and I know the way that he goes about his footy. I know that what he expects of himself, his coaching staff and his players, that last year will not happen again. They get Nat Fyfe back, hopefully for longer than they did last year. They get the big Sanderland back. They lose Pavlich, which is a huge, huge loss and big shoes to fill. Don't know if you can fill those shoes, but it means they'll probably move the ball differently and they have to go towards goal differently. And my question mark for Geelong is, I think Dangerfield and Selwood are so, so good and actually gone, taking their game to another level. They've actually quietened off other midfielders. Mm. So I don't know if they've almost squashed or, I don't know what the word is, quashed others to not be who they have been in the past at Geelong. And if one of those guys get injured, I just don't know who the responsibility can fall on. They can actually carry that workload. So I'm waiting to see with Geelong. I fully respect what they've done in the past. They were really good last year once again. But I'm wait to see with Geelong. They just worry me that I just don't know how good their depth is, in particularly in the midfield.
So you got Freo winning at home?
I have Freo, yep. I've got Freo taking the chocolates in round one.
Well, given how your tips have been so far, Nick, we'll just write all those down.
Yeah.
Write
the opposite down.
Yesterday was a nightmare, no doubt about that. Nick, appreciate your time. Look forward to you being on SEN this afternoon with the boys calling the big game between North Melbourne and the West Coast Eagles. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Have a great morning.
Nick Del Santo joining us there, part of our SEN team today. Two big matches, North and the West Coast Eagles with Andy Maher, the Ox, Spud and Brett Anderson, Rowan Connolly, part of the pregame, and then Tim Gossage, the sausage from WA, calling the Freo Geelong game. Ben Allen and Darren Gaspard to help him out there. Fyfe and Dangerfield both on the field at the same time in the same game. That's got to be worth having a listen to, hasn't it?